Please open your Bibles now to Psalm 42. And Psalm 43. We're reading these two Psalms together as we consider them as a whole tonight in our study. Please give attention. This is God's holy word. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession in the house of God with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan and the peaks of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and His song will be with me in the night. A prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you in despair, O my soul? But why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and upon the lyre I shall praise you, O God, my God. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Let's bow in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we open your word this evening, we do ask that you would grant us understanding and that you would open our hearts to these truths, that you would extend your comfort and your direction, your conviction to us by your Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I already mentioned, Psalm 42 is closely connected to Psalm 43. And in fact, there are some Hebrew manuscripts that actually place them together. They're linked by a common refrain. You probably noticed that as well as we sang it. And as we read these two Psalms, there's a common refrain in verses 5 and 11 in Psalm 42, and it's tied in also in verse 5 of Psalm 43. Another reason that we see these psalms as linked together is because Psalm 43 does not have a title. And nearly all of the psalms in the second book of the Psalter have titles. And so it seems that this psalm without a title indicates that it was connected as well with Psalm 42. The psalm is a lament of one who is separated from the temple in Jerusalem. He longs to be in God's presence, where God dwelt among His people, where the people of God came up together to worship the living God. But what stands out in this psalm is his battle with despair. for what we might call spiritual depression. His soul is in despair, he says, and it is disturbed within him. He repeats that three times. And his experience, we have to say, is not unique to the Christian experience. Even devoted Christians face despair, face battles with spiritual depression. Martin Luther is an example, along with Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great preacher who battled depression. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was a preacher in England during the mid-1900s, wrote a book on the subject of spiritual depression, its causes and cure. But what we see in this psalm is the way to confront that despair, which we all probably will face at some time, if we haven't done so already. The psalmist, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, guides us through the depths of despair to renewed hope in the Lord. It's interesting to note one other point, and that is that the psalm is attributed to the sons of Korah, who were Levites. You'll remember that in the wilderness, Korah actually led a rebellion against Moses and Aaron, along with 250 other community leaders. But the Lord destroyed them with fire, and Dathan and Abiram, who were with Korah in this conspiracy, they and their households were swallowed up by the ground as God wiped them out. However, it seems that God preserved the sons of Korah, who had not taken part in this rebellion. And later these descendants served in the temple and also were singers, as well as porters. These psalms, there are actually 11 of them that are attributed to the sons of Korah. Psalms 42 through 49, and then also Psalms 84 through 88, excluding Psalm 86. But what we see is that God did not judge the sons of Korah for the rebellion of their father. He preserved them, and their descendants served in the temple of the Lord. And so you can see the heart of the psalmist here. That desire to serve in the presence of the Lord, to worship in the presence of the Lord, being expressed, and the separation leading to this sense of despair. So we see Psalms 42 and 43, a setting in which the psalmist is kept away from the temple, and he longs to be restored into the Lord's presence once more. How do you deal with despair? With spiritual depression when it comes in your life? Well, think about how the psalmist does that and see if it compares in the way that you seek to be restored in your joy in the Lord. We'll look at this psalm in three sections. First of all, we see the longing of his soul for God shows a regenerate heart. This longing of the psalmist's soul for God shows a regenerate heart. The psalm begins with a metaphor. In verses 1 and 2 we read, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." Well, if any of you are hunters or who any of you enjoy wildlife, maybe spotting deer, you can understand this analogy. The deer perhaps has been pursued, and he is thirsty, and he's panting, and he's longing for streams of water in which he can be refreshed. And that's how the psalmist feels at this point, as he's removed from the presence of God's people where they worshiped in the temple. His soul is thirsting for God. He's been deprived from the fellowship with God. And his soul is dry and agonizing for refreshment in the house of God. Well, how could he express that kind of longing unless his heart had been renewed by the Spirit of God? Unless he had been regenerated by the power of God? And so this is a picture, a metaphor for the renewed heart. There's no longer hostility towards God in this heart. But there's a yearning for deep fellowship with him. And that is because the longing soul has been reconciled to God and has peace with God through the redemptive work of God. And of course, this comes through faith in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, which was the future hope of the Old Testament saints, and which is a completed redemption as we look back now in the New Covenant period. We look back on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Psalm 107, verse 9 says that God has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul He has filled with what is good. And that parallels the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, which we looked at several weeks ago, Matthew 5, 6, where He said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." So this is a situation in which there is a child of God with a regenerate heart who longs for deeper fellowship with God, but because of his circumstances, he is in some way prevented from having that deeper fellowship in the presence of God. And so he's threatened with feelings of despair and depression. So the psalmist's thirst for God is aggravated by various factors, and these are tempting him to despair. But let's look at those factors now. Secondly, notice the things that are causing his spiritual depression. And these relate, I think, to our lives as well. But notice, first of all, that he is separated from the temple worship. 3 times a year, the Jews would travel up to Jerusalem for the 3 annual festivals. However, the psalmist here is prohibited from going for some reason. We don't know what that reason is, but he asks, "When shall I come out and appear before God?" In verse 2, his grief is such that his tears have become food because of his constant weeping. Rather than being on Mount Zion, where the temple rested, he was remembering the Lord from the land of the Jordan River. Probably the place where the Jordan River started, up in the northern part of Israel. It says up near Mount Hermon on Mount Mizar. Mizar just means a little hill or a little mountain. So it's a smaller mountain up in that region. But he's far removed from Jerusalem, where the temple rested on Mount Zion. And he pictures for us here how a lack of fellowship leads to dryness and discouragement in the psalmist's life. I think we can all relate to that. When we're separated from loved ones, I know during Barb and my courtship, we were separated by many miles. She was in Pennsylvania, I was in Kansas. And I longed to be with her and felt blue because she was not with me. And I'm sure that you can relate to those types of feelings. And it's a similar thing, even magnified, though, with respect to the Lord. When we are in some way prohibited from experiencing fullness of fellowship with Him, we are discouraged. We feel at a loss. When we don't enjoy fellowship with God's people, when we don't enjoy the richness of the worship of God among the people of God and the sacraments and the ministry of the Word and all of the means of grace, our hearts grow dry and parched. Perhaps it's health that prohibits us. Perhaps it's some other reason that we are limited from that experience. And yet, it leads perhaps to our despair. Another reason is that he faces the taunts of enemies. Verse 3 says, "My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" Doesn't that just cut to your heart? When you're in the midst of a trying situation and people start mocking you and say, "Where is your God? Why are you having so much trouble?" And you're asking the same question, "Where is my God? Why is He not answering my prayers at this point?" And so those taunts cut deeply into our hearts and we're tempted to despair. Thirdly, we see that he remembers better days in verse 4. In his longing, he recalls the days of actually leading God's people up to the temple. He remembers the joy of worshiping God on these festival holy days when God commanded His people to come up and worship in His presence. And as they celebrated there, He was leading the singers in praise of the living God. But now, What is his circumstance? Verse 4 says, "These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession into the house of God, with a voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival." Now he's been removed from the blessing of that setting. He remembers better days. How often are we tempted to despair when we think of the good old days? Oh, how wonderful it used to be, and how difficult it is now. And in some ways, that's what the psalmist is doing here. He's remembering the better days. And then fourthly, his heart is overwhelmed with life's troubles. Verse 7. Removed in the far land to the north, he sees the waters, perhaps of the Jordan River, the streams of the Jordan up in the northern part of Palestine. It's rushing over boulders, which seems to just illustrate to him his feelings of despair. The waters rushing over these boulders in torrents like waves. They're like the waves of his own despair rolling over his heart as he's removed in this far place. This same language is actually used by Jonah when he was in the belly of the great fish. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 3, we read, "For you had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me." And so there in the belly of the fish, Jonah felt overwhelmed. And yet, note the faith of the psalmist here. It remains firm in verse 8. He reflects on the Lord's unfailing mercy and care. It is present during the day and through the night. Yet still he wonders, what is taking so long? What is taking so long? And he is again tempted to be cast into despair. In fact, that is a fifth reason that we might note. A fifth cause of despair is that he hasn't received any relief from the Lord in verse 9. Instead, the Lord allows his suffering to continue. His enemies continue to oppress. Verses 9 and 10, "I will say to the Lord, to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God?" I remember when I was going through experience of Lyme disease, and there were some very dark times, and that was a very lengthy process of treatment, and I felt the same way. Well, why don't you give relief? I've prayed again and again and again, but you're not giving me relief, Lord. Why do you allow this darkness to continue to overwhelm? And that's what the psalmist is saying. He hasn't received the relief that he desires, that he's prayed for. And he's tempted to despair in that situation. Well, going on in Psalm 43, we also see that he is being attacked by enemies. First verse of Psalm 43. He says, "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and the unjust man." Now, these are probably the same enemies who were taunting him earlier in Psalm 42. And now they're attacking him deceitfully and unjustly. I can't help but think of William Wilberforce, who fought against the slave trade in Britain. For decades, he sought to overturn the slave trafficking that was taking place. And he was taunted and he was ridiculed, and people tried to undermine his efforts. I can't help but wonder if he also was tempted to despair. And yet we should not be surprised by these attacks, should we? Jesus warned his disciples to expect persecution in John 15, verse 19. "If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Are we not tempted during times of persecution, during times of attack, to despair, to lose heart? We need to think back to Jesus and our identification with him. and to His promise of our victory. So these are some of the causes that we can draw from this psalm that would lead to this despair, this spiritual depression. And we could probably list other reasons for despair as we reflect on our own lives. For example, maybe a great disappointment, or times of personal failure in our lives, or the burden of even growing old and the effects of age and how that affects our physical bodies. We could list many things, attacks of Satan, even our own unbelief. But let's look to the solutions that we see in this psalm for spiritual depression. Thirdly, we see the psalmist gives us a solution to spiritual depression. First of all, we must wait in faith upon the Lord. Wait in faith upon the Lord. Again, going back to verse 8. Times of trouble are opportunities for our faith to be stretched and exercised. We don't exercise faith in good times very readily. But in times of trouble, we have an opportunity to exercise our faith. And that is what the psalmist expresses in verse 8. He says, "The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and His song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life." And so though he's in the midst of this despair, he remembers the loving kindness of the Lord, which is always present every day in the daytime. And in the night, he remembers His faithfulness. How can you exercise your faith when you're tempted to despair? Well, one of the ways is to sing the Word of God. What a blessing it is to treasure up the Psalms in our hearts, which is the very Word of God. And we can use those Psalms to sing to ourselves the truth of God's Word, that our faith would be strengthened during those times of darkness. It reminds us of the faithfulness of God and of His everlasting mercy and of the many other characteristics of the living God. So we need to wait in faith. Secondly, persevere in prayer to the Lord. Prayer is referenced in verse 8, which we just saw, but it's also referenced in verse 1 of Psalm 43. He prays for vindication. In legal terms, he's praying that he might be justified in the legal sense and delivered from these attackers. It's also a prayer for deliverance from the ungodly, those who are opposed to God's law and do not enjoy that gracious covenant relationship with the living God. And so he's praying that these attackers would not have their way. They're opposed to God, and he's praying that God would be exalted as he delivers his servant in this situation. Also, we see in verse 3 of 43 that he prays for the Lord to lead him in the truth and restore fellowship with God. Verse 3, "Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling places." Again, the holy hill is a reference to Mount Zion, where the temple rested and where God dwelt among His people. But persevere in prayer. As I mentioned earlier, sometimes we grow weary in our petitioning, don't we? In our despair, the answer doesn't come immediately. And we think, well, is it really worth it? We must persevere in prayer. And that's what the psalmist teaches us to do as we see these repeated references to calling upon the living God, knowing that God does hear, that He does encourage us to pour our hearts out to Him, knowing that our refuge is found in Him, Psalm 62 says. Thirdly, he exhorts himself to think rightly. We need to take ourselves by the scruff of the neck at some point, don't we, when we're in the midst of despair. The refrain that is repeated three times here begins with this question: "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me?" So we have a choice in the midst of that despair. We can let the circumstances that we're facing drive our emotions. We can let those circumstances drive us into further self-pity and despair. Or we can take control of our thinking. And that's what he's doing here. He's beginning to redirect his thoughts rather than letting the situation dictate his thinking and his emotions. He begins to reorient his thinking, and he's challenging himself to think rightly. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why are you disturbed? In other words, you have no reason. And he goes on and gives the reason why he should have hope. So he exerts himself to think rightly. And then fifthly, he directs his thoughts to the Lord. Hope in God. Three times. Hope in God. Hope in God. Hope in God. Instead of gazing dejectedly upon all of his troubles, he directs his heart to focus on the Lord. Rather than wallowing in the memories of the good old days, he directs his thinking to the present care of the living God, who is his keeper and his redeemer. Hope in God. And then finally and fifthly, he reminds himself of the certainty of future restoration. Hope in God. Why? For I shall again praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. See, his confidence rests in God's enduring faithfulness and his everlasting covenant love. He knows that if he focuses on the troubles alone, he'll be lost in despair. But as he directs his thoughts to God as his hope, in doing so, he will be able to praise God once again. And we too must keep our eyes fixed on the loving kindness and the faithfulness of the Lord in the midst of our trials. We ought to meditate on his promises rather than on our problems. Isn't that what we're tempted to do? To meditate on our problems rather than on the promises of God and the glorious character of our Redeemer and Lord Jesus Christ? Think about the wonderful words of Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Does that not give encouragement to your heart? Because we're thinking, well, maybe there's a time when those compassions are going to fail. Maybe this is the time. Maybe God's mercy has ended on this day. They never fail. They are new every morning. God's faithfulness is great. And so as we apply this psalm, think about how much you long for God. It's an evidence of your regenerate heart. That you long for God, that you love His worship and His fellowship and the fellowship of His people. How much do you long for Him? And as you face circumstances that are tempting you to despair, in which you're being overwhelmed with these waves of emotion, overcome despair by renewing your faith in God's precious promises, calling out to Him in prayer, reorienting your thinking, directing your thoughts to the Lord, and remembering the certainty of your restoration in Him. And if you're struggling in this way, let me just encourage you to make a list of verses that will help you to meditate on the promises of God, on His care for you. Make a list of those promises. Stick it in your Bible and pull that out when you're in the midst of that overwhelming time of despair. Some of those verses might include these. Let me just read a few to you as we conclude. Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And Hebrews 13:5 and 6. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? And those wonderful words in Isaiah 40, verses 29 to 31. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. And finally, 1 Peter 1, 3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Meditate on the precious promises of God. His mercy never fails. His compassions are new every day. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the Psalms that You have, through Your Word and by the inspiration of Your Holy Spirit, given us a window into the hearts of saints, even in the midst of great difficulty. Father, we thank You that we have a helper, the Holy Spirit, our comforter, to come alongside us, to guide us through those difficult times. And that, Lord Jesus, as our shepherd, You shepherd us through even the valley of the shadow of death, so that we do not need to fear any evil, knowing that You are with us, Your rod and Your staff comforting us. God, I pray that You would renew our hope in Your promises, even as we are tempted to despair. You know the hearts that are here tonight and the lives and the situations and the circumstances. Grant Your comfort in Jesus Christ. Renew faith. Lord, hear prayers and help us to think rightly with our eyes and our hope rooted in You. Our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, go with us during the week ahead. Give us Your strength and power that we might faithfully serve in Your kingdom. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.